Well, welcome back to another episode of A Pastor's Cafe Q&A. I'm your host, David. I'm here with Pastor Steve Kern, and this is going to be episode number 2.
Here we go.
Here we go again.
Yes, we're ready.
All right. Going to continue our questions. Talk a little of social justice. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
All right, here we go. Social justice and equality. Question: how can religious communities contribute to the pursuing social justice and equality for marginalized groups? Oh, dear. Just tell us. Enlighten us. Go ahead.
Well, you know, when you think in terms of the fact that when the fall took place, everything, it became, that life was no longer fair. And I don't care what you try to put together, that mm-hmm. that fallenness
yep.
is always present.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can attempt to make things a life for different people,
mm-hmm. you know,
livable and that kind of a thing. But so much of it depends upon the individual
mm-hmm.
and what are they willing to do to bring about. You can give everybody equal opportunity.
I believe we do have equal opportunity.
Well, I would hope so. But yeah. The point being is, not everyone seems to take advantage of the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and so that's there for them. I think that was one of our founding fathers' objectives, was to create a system
mm-hmm.
that made it possible for a person to succeed if they had the desire and the heart to succeed.
Sure.
And so I think the real objective of the church is to teach people responsibility. You know, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. All these different kinds of things that you mm-hmm. have in the Bible.
Sure,
you know. But yeah, and it also says that we're supposed to give when somebody's in need and that kind of a thing. But equality and equity, I think, is a high goal, high standard, but probably will never be reached, you know, as far because of the fallenness of us all.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I think just basically churches have clothes closets, they have food pantries, they have different kinds of things to try to mm-hmm. make the need of people that are hurting and that kind of a thing. Which I think is good and important. We're supposed to do those kinds of things. But I think the government trying to get in and starting to regulate and make things happen the way they think it's supposed to happen, I think they do more harm than good.
Sure. I love the free market. So let's say I want to create a pen company.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do all the paperwork necessary to form a company, mm-hmm. and then I buy the machinery, mm-hmm. or I go look for funding, and I purchase all the machinery. I find a site, a garage, or I rent a building, and then I will start hiring people to help me, if I want to build the pens,
yeah.
and then the pen will be sold. Now, I came up with the idea. I provided all the funds and backing. I bought all the machinery. I pay rent. And the person putting together the pen should get equal to the person who put all the risk in developing it. That just doesn't make sense.
Oh.
So it's like I took all the risk, mm-hmm. and then they're just working for me, but they deserve the same pay. It doesn't work that way. I like I like Rush Limbaugh, how he used to state what fair really is. Being fair is the equal distribution of misery upon everyone.
I miss Rush.
But it's so true.
Well, an example, my brother-in-law, when he graduated from college, you know, he had a degree in social sciences and that kind of thing. And so he started looking for a job, working for government positions, you mm-hmm. know, in social work. Well, the thing about it was that there were all these requirements. You had to hire a certain person from this particular group, a certain and he could hardly find a job anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really equal for him. You know, they're trying to make it equal for everyone else, but well, then making it equal, trying to make it equal for them, made
sure.
it unequal
sure.
for him.
And the job application states that you have to have brown eyes.
Yeah.
You cannot have blue eyes. Well, that's not fair.
No. I didn't determine whether I was going to have brown eyes or hazel or what.
Right. Anything else you want to talk about, social justice or equity, equality? Before we get to the next one.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. Let me just say one thing, all right?
One.
There's only one race. That's the human
race.
And we've broken everything down into all these different races and all this different competition between all these different cultures and everything, when in reality, we ought to just start respecting one another for who we all are,
sure.
made in
yeah.
the image of God,
mm-hmm.
and expressing dignity to each other, regardless of who we are, where we come from, or what mm-hmm. our background is, and all that kind of
sure.
thing.
Sure.
That's the only way to get equity, I think.
Good. All right. Thank you. All right. Next topic.
Oh, okay.
Mental health. What guidance does your faith offer for supporting individuals struggling with mental health issues, especially in these challenging times?
Well, do you want my own personal testimony?
Sure.
Well, I'm a Vietnam veteran. When I went through Vietnam, I saw a lot of stuff.
Mm.
And I didn't realize that at the time as a young kid coming out at 23, you know, that the PTSD and all that kind of a
mm-hmm.
thing. But one of the things that happened for me was when I got out, I got involved in the church and began to really develop a personal relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting that, having a biblical understanding of the way things are
mm-hmm.
and knowing that God was in control and that God had a plan for my life. And I couldn't do anything about all the travesties and things that I'd seen.
Mm-hmm.
My personal relationship with Jesus and relating to him really helped me to begin to deal with a lot of that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and have the right kind of perspective that, no, like we were talking, life is not fair, and God's got a plan, he's got a purpose for all of us, that kind of a thing, that it helps you to deal with the things that you're having to face, that there's something greater beyond who we are,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that we can turn to, that we can depend upon, and that we can give it to them, to him, and that really, to me, helped me in dealing with the PTSD and all of that.
Okay, yeah.
So, but that's my personal experience.
Okay.
So, anyway, Jesus said, you know, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Those
sure.
kinds of things, you know.
Sure.
And when you really do that and take it to heart, it helps you to start dealing with the kinds of issues and things that's causing your mental unhealth, maybe to start bringing some healing there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was my experience, or that is my experience.
One of the reasons why I asked that question is we're not really talking with people with serious disorders. The question is aimed more towards the people who live a lifestyle of playing the victim.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people playing the victim are putting themselves on the same level as someone with a very serious mental health disorder. Mm-hmm. I think the problem today is a lot of people like to play the victim, and they also like to get offended very easily for example, we could have a conversation with someone. Let's say we're in a group of 12 people, and my son recently told me this. He's a waiter, and he's doing really well for himself. And he said, "Dad, one of the days I dislike working on is Sunday." Hmm. Really? What? Tell me what's bad about Sunday? He said, "Right after church," he said, "the church folk come. Hmm. They leave the biggest messes." They tip the least amount, and they're the most rude people dealing with.
Ooh.
And he said, "Now, why do you want me to continue my walk of faith or start a walk of faith when people behave this way?" You know, it's like, well, son, we're not in control of other people, and what you're experiencing is very unfortunate. Now, if we're in a group of 12 people, the reason why I mentioned that is that if I made that observation, I've heard a few people other make that observation too, right?
Right.
If you're not behaving like that, if you tip well, if you feel like you're contributing to someone, you leave them a track, then you shouldn't be upset at all at that comment, right? Would you agree with me?
Yeah, sure.
Now, where I find people getting upset is that they're the ones being rude, inconsiderate, and not nice, and big tippers. So it's a tell that when you make an observation or a comment, if someone gets upset, kind of like with these mental health, you make a comment. Well, tell me about your mental health. Okay, now I'm switching gears a little bit. Tell me about why do you feel like you deserve more pay or pay if you don't want to work a job? And why do you think you feel like you deserve a cell phone and health insurance, everything provided for you if you don't want to work?
Yeah.
And usually their response is very negative and very hostile, and they start calling you a name.
Yeah.
When you're basically just trying to prescribe a fix. The problem is with most people, they don't want a prescription for the fix. They like living in that misery, which is unfortunate because we want to help people. Yeah. It's just let's identify where the problem areas are. So sorry to go off on a tangent like that. But
I would say to your – if it were my son, and I know you would agree with this, that, well, son, they have to answer to them for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can learn from that is that, okay, knowing how this has impacted you, it should help you. And you're knowing how that even though they may not be doing it right, you've learned something from it.
That's right.
And let that become something to help you become a better person.
That's right.
Yeah. If you take it to heart, rather than using it as an excuse just to...
Bingo. See, that's where we get in trouble. We start using excuses to validate our misbehaviors.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. One more question for you. Technological advancements. How do you view the rapid technological advancements, especially artificial intelligence, from a religious and ethical standpoint?
I really like this question because... to me, the technological advances that have been made make it more and more reasonable for there to have been a creator had the ability at the beginning to put everything in place. And then he says, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue it.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how it works, and then... take what you learn and use it for positive things to increase the ability for to improve life. And so when you have the idea that there's no God, everything is a result of an explosion,
mm-hmm.
you know, where there's no design, everything's chaotic and everything. Well, how in the world do you get technology out of that, you see, but if
that's a really good question.
But if you've got a, if you've got a God who's totally and completely infinite in wisdom, and he puts all these things within his creation,
mm-hmm.
you know, then it's very interesting to me how that man's technology has improved and increased. As the population has increased,
mm-hmm.
and how that as we needed technology for feeding more people, we've learned how to farm and how to mm-hmm. to well Oklahoma State University, you know, teaching how to – they do all kinds of investigation on how to grow the right kind of crops and all that kind of stuff. That's all technology. Of course, we're probably talking more about AI and everything like that. But even that, the AI and all that kind of thing, just all it does is say to me is, wow, God – of course, he's beyond all of that. He's even wiser beyond. Mm-hmm. We're just now beginning to tap even a beginning of the wisdom and the intelligence of, of who he really is. Mm-hmm. And so I really look at it as it glorifying God and his creation and the creation that he put together. And he gave us the ability to think it through and to investigate. And so I get frustrated because a lot of times I don't know how to work it that good, and I really respect the ones who do.
Yeah,
but really for me, it's a continuing confirmation of who the Creator really is, and really what he had in mind when he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." Because I've given you all kinds of stuff for you here to discover, and as we go along, I'm going to help you discover it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good positive perspective, unique perspective. Usually it's a little more negative and a little more disheartening, but that's a very encouraging perspective.
Well, God intended it for good, but man has a way of taking everything that God made good and turn it into something evil. You know what I mean?
Very true.
Like you've got nuclear power that we could be using possibly to replace coal fire, but we turn it into bombs and things like that.
You know? Yeah, and sure.
So that's the downside of it is God intending it for good, but we take because of our fallenness, depravity, we often turn it into ways of doing evil.
Okay. Wow. Good answer.
Well, thanks.
Good perspective. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode. We'll be back next week with some more questions. Feel free to email us at pastorscafe@ra4c.org. Until next time, take care and bye-bye.